Oh, thank you, Lord. I just thank you. I'm thankful for the Lord letting me tag along with this. Such a, I mean, that's all I am. I'm a nobody. But boy, you don't need, he makes you out to be a somebody. I've got a question. I've got something for you before we even do anything. All the world, I want to invite you to a question I'm going to ask you. And wherever you are, you take this openly. You don't have to tell anybody. There's an answer. And everybody, I'm just going to go through it. At the end of it, I won't, at that time, I won't even tell what the answer is, but in time, it will. So I appreciate every one of you out there. I pray that God's blessing you. I pray the love of God's in your heart so wonderful, so brilliant. The pathway of an adjusted, the shining light, that shines more and more to that most perfect day. I pray that that perfect light will be in you this day. You'll be involved in the things of God. Oh, glory to God, that you'll separate from the cares of this world. The world has nothing for you. God has everything. He has all the riches. The Christian has no history. It's all future. Satan has no future, but all past. And we as God's children have a future in the Lord. You know, we used to, schools and that, those that say, you go to the school, you're going to have a wonderful future. I mean, you've got the future. You're going to be a band leader. You're going to be a trombone player. You're going to be all these things that we use in life that we love. They're there to be used while we're here. But I want to tell you, there's something higher than the greatest thing that you can be involved in. It's supernatural. Because God's coming soon, and with his people, they're going to be indoctrinated with a new power that's ever been in Kerbach. Oh, praise back to the day of Daniel. He's told about this event. There's going to be a great day coming. Oh, when there are, he could not explain it. He just knew it. It's unexplainable, but there's going to be a lot of transportation. Wow. You know, all they have is camels and horse and buggies and all these things. Up to about 100 years ago, that was great travel here. This has all happened in the last 50 to 100 years. It began back in about the turn of the 20th century. At the beginning, we started seeing steam engines, and we started seeing all the involvement of steam. Oh, that was a great thing. The sewing machine, and pretty soon become the refrigerator, and pretty soon become the radio, and become all these inventions. As a little boy, I still remember. I remember her, the radio man, worked on the radio. His name was Hartson, but he worked on radios. Nobody knew what, I mean, it was so much has been just the last 50 years. Computers. When I got married, which didn't seem to me very long ago, there wasn't a computer. There was very few cars with air conditioning. There were a few, but they weren't common. Heaters was a little bit more back in the 40s, and that time in the late 30s, you could put it, install a couple hoses to a heater and put it in your car and use it. And I'll tell you, you ever ride in the old cars, you wanted it. I remember as a little boy, we went to my grandma's, and we went in about a 29, 28 model car. And then my brother was so cold, we was freezing to death. No heat. I mean, blankets. Mother said, put on more blankets. I mean, how can you put on blankets when you already froze? But that's the way your travel was. That's if you're lucky. I mean, some of them had to go in a horse and buggy. And I mean, there was there was not even any doors. There was no winter. There was no top. I mean, right in the elements. And that was normal. And your houses were just, they were underbuilt, what we call them now. You'd have a four room house, that was about it. Maybe one or two. If you got extravagant, you'd put an extra bedroom out there around the wings of the house, and that was your house. You had a kitchen, had a big wood stove. You had to stoke up that fire, and you had to get, it had a water heater hooked in that stove, and you got your water hot by the stove. Things have really gone along a direction. And I want to get this, just to stimulate your mind, I want to say all this, to tell you now, for a problem. Father, I just pray in the wonderful name of Jesus, I pray for the power of God to be here in a mighty way. I pray that you'll touch your people. Father, most of all, I pray that you'll set them free this night from any guilt. Anything that they face, the enemy has come to take away their joy. I pray that you'll take them. If he's been undermining your people, I pray that you'll stop that one in the name of Jesus. I pray that touch your people in the mighty way. I pray that you'll give them liberty this night. Father, give them favor, because I know if they'll come to you, you're going to favor all of them. Your eyes are open to righteous, your ears are open to their cry. And you said, call to you, and you'll answer, and you'll show us great and mighty things that we know not. Father, we know not nothing, but we know that you know everything. I pray that you'll bless your people wherever they are. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Now I know the Lord told me to do this. I'm going to give it out. The Lord's teaching me how to preach. I'm a nobody. But he's pretty smart. And God knows what I'm being about. But we can't even think. We're his offspring. He wants us to be part of him. We need to learn to take on his nature. His nature supersedes everything that we can imagine. Our imagination, while we're on imagination, is what gets us in trouble. We imagine someone's mad at us. We imagine that we're going to have a bad day. We imagine these things. Oh, it's going to be a tough day tomorrow. It's going to be cold tomorrow. No, it's not going to be that. I'm going to, in the name of Jesus, going to be just perfect for me, for you, everyone. We got to get that in our heads. His eye is over the righteous. And the righteous get that way by having their mind set on God. On setting the sun, because Jesus paid in full. This day be alive. The preaching of the cross is really right, because nothing happened until Jesus was hung on that cross. Oh, I used to feel for Jesus so much, that's why I wouldn't talk about it, because I know that Jesus was hurt. But yet, he done it freely that we could live. What a mighty blessing. And it started on the cross. And yet there's people, pastors, who won't even speak anything about it. That's where it's at. What we do when we come against the cross, we're denying the power that God had in us. We're going into our own selfish ways. The Lord's already told us what man's going to get in trouble, because they're following God, but they're following according to their own heart. You're going to miss it a yard. You're going to miss it 1,000 yards. You're going to miss it, totally miss it. The Lord, all he wants is you to give him his heart. I don't know nothing, but he knows everything. He has a plan. I have no plans. It's like going to driving for a parking spot. God can get you this parking spot. And he wants you to start relying on him. Oh, this spot here really wasn't good for you anyway. You need to be over here. So you make another glass. And here the next time, you fit right in. And the little bitty things is where we need to start growing in the Lord. But a few years ago, I went up in the hills, my brother here with me, and we went up to this pastor was starting a new work up there. He was really flying high, he thought. But anyway, he was so upset because he was going to have this Easter Sunday, and yet it's going to have this rain. And what was he going to do? And the more I around him, I knew that when he started his beginning, he never asked that God didn't tell him to do it. It was all his. You see it very vividly. So I said, well, you never even asked the Lord when you started off. No, I didn't do that, no. I said, well, why would you ask him now? You start when you're born in something. When you start something is the initial when you get thrust from God, when you get purpose in him. So you got to regroup and do things different. If you got lost, any amount of you been flying, you was down in like we was coming back from Miami, and our plane, because of engine failure, had landed in Houston. I'm just giving this, but you find yourself in a busy airport, and you find yourself lost, what would you do? Would you call your mother, your brother, your father, your pastor? Would you look for someone around the airport that looked godly and had, maybe he had a smile on their face? All these things that we'd be honest, what's what we're looking for? Because you're needy at that place. You don't know whether this is north, this is north. You don't even know your directions. Because when you come in an airport that way, especially you come in at night, you don't know where you are. So where is your help going to come from? You're looking for someone to help you. If people are eating, do you look for someone that's praying? If you stay there long enough, you look for someone that tips the waiters and the waiter. All these are signs that we follow. Someone is kind, and you surely wouldn't, if someone, you see someone real boisterous and loud, you would start to stay away from that person. Especially as ruined profanity, you would get over, you say, not that person. Someone was sort of selfish, wanted to get in line, get, you wouldn't ask that person. All these things that would come in your life are all from the human error. They're all wrong. Every one of them. I'll guarantee you. And I've been through it, Brother Freedom, years ago. I've time after time where I had to rely totally on the Lord. He was never wrong. I was coming back from Peoria, Illinois, got to St. Louis, had to drive to St. Louis because there was no way out. And nobody there in Peoria knew where we was going to go. There was no nothing. But see, I had been doing my homework. I was in school. I ended up, I had to move from where I was in the a small room in that Hilton, in the Peoria Hilton. And I was in a suite, glorious suite. And I said, thank you, Lord. He says, yeah, it's a good place for you to pray, isn't it? And I said, yes, it is. So I prayed every night. And heaven started coming down. God started showing me what was going to take place. See, when you have to pray, it sharpens your senses up spiritually. See, most people, they're not sensitive to the Spirit. When you go to a prayer meeting, you can see it. I mean, there are people there haven't even prayed. They're waiting for the pastor to pray, and if you see it in God's eye, they're so far from it. You better get away from it. But there's an answer. It's waiting by yourself upon the Lord. Lord, I need you. As Lord, as I need you this night for this meeting, I pray that you'll bless this night. I pray as the hearts of people all the world has given what they want to do, I pray that they'll listen for the answer. And Lord, I want to know that you have a family. And Father, you're very interested in your family. But your family don't really seek you. They don't really trust you. And we have to learn to trust in the living God. That's the pathway that God's people must travel on. If they don't learn to trust, they'll miss the road that's going to lead them to. Trust gets them in the presence of God. In His presence is full of joy. In His presence of God, supernatural things take place. God mends hearts through a supernatural encounter with God the Father. God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, there's an encounter that takes place that we'll be not deceived no more, but we'll walk it by faith, prompted by the Spirit of God. There's too many people, of God's people, they look for the things which are seen. But the Bible says, look not for the things that are seen. So the natural man, he looks for the things that are seen. He looks for the troubles. He looks for the problems. And the Bible says, we look not for the things that are seen, but we look for the things that are not seen. But the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. We see it by faith. We see the pathway is by faith. As we move on that pathway and we pray, it's changed, altogether changed. The pathway changed from catastrophes to gracious living. Living with the Lord, living in His power. That Thursday night I started praying. The Lord told me, says, you know, tomorrow morning you're going to find that there'll be no travel here. I'd seen in the paper there was going to be no travel. They're going to have a strike. And strikes can ruin your travel. Satan wants to induce strikes. He wants to induce riotous living. He wants to induce where you fret. You're concerned. Bible plainly says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious of workers of iniquity. For they, all those people, shall be soon cut down as the green grass. You too. Well, me too. Well, you can't go that way. But trust the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land. Dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Spiritual feeding. God's going to tell you, He's going to move on you when you start backing up and relying not on what you see here, but relying on what you see from heaven. As I started praying that night, the Holy Ghost came down so mightily. Oh, come a sheet of the glory came down. The Lord said, let your heart be troubled, my son. I can still remember. I will go with you. And know the way it looked like it's hard, I'll be with you. Remember, I will go with you. And tomorrow morning when you go down there and you meet the carnal man, they're going to say, where's the way out? They're going to come to me. And they did. And I say, God's got it under control. I literally told them, God's got it under control. And these men were pretty like atheists. But something happened. They knew the man of God could hear from God. And they knew there was a way to get him home. They was going to be in bondage. They was going to be shut down. They didn't know how long. But I'll tell you, God performed a miracle. The Lord told me, says, when you get that sign, it'll be me. This man started walking toward me, and I knew that was a sign. He says, I'm from Caterpillar, but I needed to turn my car in. I says, do you want it? I said, yes, I do. And I turned immediately. I said, yes, it was that fast. I told this man from Kansas City, Kansas. He worked for a cat dealer up there. I said, I want you to take that, go right now, get that signed off. We'll all put our funds together, and we're going to get out of here. The Lord's given me a plan. We're going to do it. I said, okay, we're following you. I said, well, you do the drive. Who wants to drive? This bus is all drive. I said, well, I'm just sitting in the back seat and praying. How's that? We got out of Peoria just fine. We got paid for that car. We drove St. Louis, Missouri by car. We got there way before we could have got by plane, probably, because God was leading us. He'll lead you in a very special way. It's impossible, but when you put your faith in God, it's alive. This doesn't stop right here, but it kept on moving. And we as God's people out there, you need to take this to ear tonight that you'll latch in on and trust God for your support, for your means. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No, there is no other way. The enemy has series of things. He's false, false, false. But you've got to have the truth. The Lord is the truth of life. No one comes unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. He is your leader. He is your captain. He is your savior. He is your friend. He's your healer. He is your everything. He is your everything. He is my everything. There's a song. He is my everything. And I just praise him this night. He is my everything. God is not slack concerning his promise. As some men count slackness. God is not slackness, but long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. He don't want you to fret out there on the earth and find yourself lost. He wants to come and give you you discover him. You discover life. And for the Lord, if you trust in him, he's going to guide you till you walk into heaven. All that way, he's going to guide you. See, Brother Freedom, if it wasn't for some reason, I wouldn't even be here today. I'd be up in there already. But God wants me to be here to get other people their plans divorced in where they're headed. Your plan is very manly. It's very churchly. And I'll tell you, churchy's not going to make it. You got to be godly. You got to have God. The supernatural power, his eyes search for those who will trust, put their trust in him. Their full trust is in the Lord, not in man. Men are going to die because their faith is in man. It's sad. God give us his spirit, his son. Jesus plainly said, St. John, if you believe in God, believe also in me. But goes down, verily, verily, he believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works shall I do. I think it's the 14th chapter. The works that I do, shall he do also, but greater works shall I do because of the will of the Father. What you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. He shall send forth the Comforter, shall reprove the world of sin, and he shall live within you. He shall be in you. Jesus says this must take the place because if I do not do this, the Comforter will not come. That's when they said Jesus, they didn't want Jesus to leave. He hadn't been yet to the cross. But after he got to the cross and paid the supreme tax, they went to Jerusalem and tarried till they was endued with power. The disciples, they were no longer weaklings. Jesus had left them, but Jesus was even led by the Spirit. He is God himself, but he was led by the Spirit. The same Spirit lift up Jesus in the Word of God. His same Spirit shall lift us up. It's a mighty thrust. This people say there's nothing to it, but it's the way. It is the way, the truth of life. It'll get you to heaven. But if it's this other way, you're going to be lost, just like what we started tonight. You need to have your mind upon the Lord Jesus Christ and him only. He will fill you with the Holy Ghost. He'll give you a strength. He'll give you a desire. He'll make you complete in whatever way. But your mind must be on Lord Jesus Christ. He is your way that leads you to heaven. There is no other way. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, through that gift of God, God gives us a supernatural blessing. But supernatural doesn't come in the carnal. The Bible said the natural man receives not the things. For a foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, but the spiritually discerned. The natural man receives not the things. The natural man says, well, I don't get nothing out of that. My brother, a brother right here, is giving people things to read. They didn't get nothing out of it. And I thought it was great. But see, they're blinded. See, God has a blindness that he puts on his people because he feels sorry for them. They've never grown. They're still dwarfs. They're still immature. And God still loves them greatly. God moves in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. God had this plan for man. We're going to see God move this last day. We're going to see power. We're going to see witness the things of God. These people have, says, slanderous words, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since this day and since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. This is right. There's slanderous ones. They don't see God coming. But God's every day. I see him in the air. I see him what's taking place. He says, when you see these things come to pass, that's what Jesus said. He says, when you look for these things, and when they come, see these things come, look up. That means looking up. The joy of the Lord is your strength. He'll have a peculiar people zealous of good works. That's what the Bible says. A peculiar people zealous of good works. For the grace of God to bring us salvation hath appeared unto all men. But all men don't receive it. Teaching them to denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that they should live soberly. Soberly, that's alert of the Lord, not asleep. They're to live righteously in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, that he might redeem unto himself a what? A peculiar people. I'm a peculiar people. Zealous of all works. I'm zealous of all works. I don't care who cares it. Who knows it? I'm Pentecostal from top of my head because it's from God. I'm sorry the Pentecostals have ruined the name of the Lord. They have. And they're going to be held accountable. I seen a pastor this morning. I felt sorry for him. If you don't straighten up, you can't marry homosexuals. You can't condone homosexuals and be right with God. I'm saying I know what I'm saying. God says, he won't permit it. God is just. God is holy. He is alive. The Bible says be alive unto him, but dead to sin. Sin is running rampant. Every place you go, sin, sin, sin. The advertisement, sin, sin, sin. The pathway of the just is as a shining light. But it's not for the unredeemed. It's not for the unsaved. It's for the shining light. For those that love God, just the shine light that shines more and more to that what most perfect day, the day of Christ, when he comes through the clouds of glory. It's going to be a meeting there. What a meeting there is going to be. What a blessing. Oh, when you see people touched by the Spirit of God, when you see lives changed, when you see all the multitude of God's glory upon people, it does a supernatural encounter that nothing can ever change. You know, I thought I was going to live out my life, but nobody would believe. But it doesn't make any difference what they've seen. I've seen God probably triumph. Nobody buys it. It's okay. Brother Freedom has spoken out. You must get right with God. You must seek God. It's by the mighty Spirit. And yet there's no other way. Without the Spirit, you're lost. I don't care what people want to doctor up. When you have a love of God, there's nothing. My life. Look where I'm at. I couldn't walk, couldn't talk. The Lord says, hey. I says, why am I having this? The Lord says, lo, I'll be with you always. And I says, yes, I know that, Lord. I know you promised me that. This happened 3 different times when I had my stroke. He says, your time is about to begin. I didn't even know what he's talking about. But this last part was so, he was like laughing. He says, go for it. And that just touched me so much. I thought, here I am really washed up. And the Lord says, hey, I had to make you this way because my church is so bad. I had to make you bad because you're going to get good by exercising. My church needs to exercise totally until they get clean, until they seek me, that they pray, they endeavor, put their whole body in to serve me. I've had to put my whole, and I'm going to withdraw my spirit upon you too. You're going to do this in the natural
So it's been pretty tough, brother and sister.
Oh, I feel the come a shift. I've been starved from the glory. But God said, I made you that way. You feel the hurting of my people. God did me almost like I had to take what they told, laughed about me. Said, oh, poor brother Peter, he ain't nothing. We got the answer. He don't even go to church. Yeah, we got the answer. But by his stripes we are healed. The effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God says, your prayers are answered. We'll stay answered. See, we live in a world that a lot of different voices, and we as God people, it's our fault. Because we listen to people and says, oh, that's us, Lord. I'm going to believe it. Yeah, that's got to be it. No, you didn't go seek God. You got to eat this word. See, the Lord, when I read this word for quite a few years, I just read it so fast, I just ate it. It became life. Because eating the word, you're not comparing it, you're just taking it in. If you were starving and you're taking food in, you wouldn't go down to the drugstore or someplace, the chemist, and analyze that food you was eating, because you'd die before you did. That's what people are doing. That word, you got to get it in here. That word's life. Your veins should be full of the glory of God. God wants to be entangled in you. My leg is no good. But Lord God's going to heal me one of these days. I'm going to be flying. I'm going to be walking. Then the Lord, I'm going to go to heaven in the sweet by and by. And I'm going to see Jesus. And glory to God, it's going to be a hallelujah day. And if you want this day, if you need to seek God in a very special way, you need to ask forgiveness and seek Him and know Him as your personal Savior in such a way. Because it's your life's at stake. I'm the way, and the way we've been for up to a time, we went to the graveyard that way, and hopefully the pastor could get us out of purgatory, is what we're trying to do. I'm not too sure that worked. I really don't know. I've got a lot of loved ones. I'm concerned. We try to buy people's life by telling them that they is okay where they are. Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. We've been very slothful. We didn't do a lot of praying. I prayed 8 years straight, nothing happened. But I care after 8 years, I mean, everything happened. I mean, glory come down. You just need to wait upon God. You don't stop in one day. You don't stop in 1 week. We don't stop in 1 year. My neck hurt me so bad through the time. I prayed it'd get better. And I pray and pray. This went on for years. People got, he don't have nothing. He's the call if you ever seen one. I know that's what they said. He don't have nothing. Brother Freedom wasn't caring what nobody thought. I want what God thought. I knew a little bit even my wife. I know what Job went through a little bit. Just roll up and die. No, I could not roll up and die. I went through a lot of valleys. I mean, so terrible valleys. I couldn't got through it without God's help. I had a thyroid that went, Lord, let me go down to actually into hell. So terrible. Night it happened, little church says that. God come down, healed everybody. It was just like a gigantic wave. But I guess that traded off for me. When I went home, I don't even like that word, but it took loose in my body. I was in a different world. And I knew without the Lord I was in trouble. And we as God's people must remember in our heart, if we don't have God, we're in trouble. You can't think you're so great up here. I went to this church for so long, but I don't mean nothing with God. How's your heart with Him? How's your relationship? He reads us. He knows us. And out there, I hope you can hear what I'm saying. You need to get right with God. Right now. Don't wait tomorrow. Do it now. Because He's coming. And Brother Freedom has something that I don't think no one else has. I have a personal endeavor with God. And God made me like I am because I can get through. I know you're hurting. I've been hurting the last 3 years, hurting terribly. But I thought maybe I would just go the way of the grave and God would. But I didn't. God had someone else. He was going to keep His part of the bargain if I keep my part. Well, I went through a lot of struggles. A lot of nights I didn't think I'd make it the next morning. And I'd get back the next week and I'd do the flimsy little preaching I did. It was so flimsy. But God now has made a powerhouse. And God's going to come. He's going to move mighty. And people are going to be saved. They're going to be set free. But those that don't want it, they're going to keep what they got. The Lord says, I'm not even going out. Someone should hear what I'm saying and take advantage of it. That's all I'm saying. Because when you live in hell for a trillion years and say, hey, I could have missed this. Tonight's your night to miss it. Tonight's to take away that pride. Follow that pride and say, oh, I really believe quite wrong. There should be scoffers. And last thing, say it. Where is the promise of his coming? Peter said that. Since the Father's fell asleep, all things continue. And that's what they're saying. They're saying ugly things about the Lord, but God is coming back. And there is a payday. There's a day that's pointed unto man once to die. Then comes the judgment. The judgment, every soul will stand. I will stand before my Lord too. And I think that means even my past, I'm going to have to give some kind of accountability. I know I made it, but I know that there has to be some kind of accountability. We as God's people must realize that we've been saved from an awful, we could have went to something so terrible. But in that time when I went down, it was so bad. I had never felt that wicked. The wickedness of hell is terrible. And I had a dream. And I was so believed that God was going to heal me that I fought against everybody. I just knew that they weren't going to put no wicked pill in my mouth. But see, I was doing it through the man's way. I had to learn to walk on God. So God gave me a dream. That dream, I seen myself in a white suit. I never wear white anyway. Not just white suits. I had white shoes on. I had a white hat on. I had a white tie. Everything was, and a white Bible. And a white cross was on the Bible. And the Lord says, what does this remind you of? I said, I guess purity or something like that. He says, that's right. You take that pill every day and you're going to get well. You're going to humble yourself. See, a little pride's in God in you. You're not going to take that because, no, I want you to humble yourself and remember every day that you take that, it's I. See, my people got to learn to humble. That's why he says every man has to come to me directly. You all have little things like this. So I said, okay. I told Betty, I said, I'll take that pill. And I got better right away. And I felt the Spirit of God come back up me. God, Samson. Oh, God, the Spirit of God. But we go through valleys. All of us, we go through valleys. It's natural. We're going through testing. Through times of trouble. But God is forever faithful. He will never let you go. His eye is on the righteous. His ears open to cry. If it's called unto him, he will answer and show us great and mighty things that we know not. Greater is he that's in us than he is in the world. Let not your heart be troubled. Let it be afraid. God has not given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. When there's fear, there's torment. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love, when we get a little fearful, our love is not made perfect. That's what it says. We got to stay in love with Jesus. We didn't love Jesus and we never loved him before. We didn't say, Lord, I love you, Jesus. I thank you. I want you to be in my center. I want you to be with me in the morning. I want you to be at night. All of my, every 24 hours a day is all Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Because he's coming back very soon. And we're going to miss it if we're not looking for him. And that's the only way you're going to keep him is every hour of the day he's mine. Well, yes, he's mine. I know he's mine. Oh, this Pentecostal blessing. And I know it's mine. It's mine. And nothing thrills my soul like the soul like Jesus. There's nothing will touch my heart by the power of God. He is so wonderful. I pray that God will bless you this day in a mighty way. And if the answer is, you need to seek God. Just stop and seek God. I'm going to finish it up now. We drove to St. Louis. We got to St. Louis. All these other men all left me. I never seen him no more. I went down to when I first got in there. I'm not sure it was an angel. I think maybe it was. I need a flight to Dallas, Texas. I was supposed to come in by Ozark, but Ozark's on strike. And she says, well, you know, all the planes are on strike too from a hurricane down in the Gulf. I said, is there any place, I said, I'm going to pray about this, but is there any place I can go and wait? In case there might be someone that comes in or does something like that. She's go down to gate 19 and stand in. She said, I don't think you'll get in. I don't know, but you just go down there. As I started walking down that corridor by myself, I said, so I started losing my faith in the Lord.
I started thinking, well, maybe I should call this, just going back to what I was talking about. But I didn't. The Lord told me, he says, right now, he says, you need to straighten up. The just must live by faith. Just as clear as can be. Straighten up. The just must live by faith. That means I go down there and just pray. Haven't done nothing else, pray. That's what you're supposed to, having done all, you stand, pray. Believe. So I got down in this 19, and as I was a 727, had just flown in over the American Airlines, it was so pretty, and I started praying. I started praying the Spirit. I went up and saw the man, and I says, I would just like to, he said, well, I'm not going to promise you nothing. He says, I'm going to, if I can, I will, but I says, don't look for nothing. You may be just here for a long time. So I just started praying. Lord started speaking to my heart, said, it'll all work out perfect. You're on the path with it. God had me on. So I'm going to continue to take me through. Look not to yourself, but look to me. I'm going to take you through all these kinky places you've got to go. You're so far, you stay on course. Just wait upon me and I'll take you the rest of it. I said, Betty's sister's going to be there and they're going to be there pretty soon. He says, yeah, you're going to meet him. You're going to meet him. You're going to be okay. It's okay. But that was quite a few hundred miles from Dallas. So I said, Lord, I totally trust you. I get renounce all the things that I might have an unbelief. I cast it out. All fear, reject all these things that Satan uses against the mind. Weapons of a warfare are not carnal. Mighty through God, pulling down strongholds and casting down imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus our Lord. Said that in my mind quite a few times. I said, I rely totally on you, Lord. And I started praying. I just went on praying the Spirit. When that plane came, that 727 in syrup, airlines are pretty planes. But I was praying the Spirit. I prayed for, must have been an hour in the Spirit. People got off. This man that I talked to got up and he started speaking. So the Lord said, you better listen to what he's saying. So I take more heed or receive the things you heard, lest any time you let them slip. I was about letting something slip behind my ear. I need to be awakened. Not to be praying, not then. I need to be listening. Because God had an answer. And so he says, all wheelchair handicapped persons come and board. And the next word was, Brother Freedom! Brother Freedom! He didn't say Brother Freedom. He said my name. So I went up that plane. The steward says, where would you like to sit from this plane? I said, well, can I sit on the left-hand side? Right up. Says, you can have any seat you got. You're in royalty tonight for some reason. So I sat down there and I was amazed. God, give me the seat of my dream. That's the thing. I had a prayer meeting, brother. The Lord said, you doubt me. I'm going to take care of you. I said, I know what I said. I'm sorry, but I know I'm a little carnal. He said, yeah, but I'll try to keep you straight. Sometimes we need God to keep us straight. His mighty hand, we need it on our shoulder all the time. My child, you're wavering. You're thinking of the natural. You need to get out, not anything. You got to trust me all the time. Every step you take, you keep. So I got in Dallas and the Lord says, where are they going to be at? I said, I don't know. The Lord says, can you trust me? I said, yep. So you just pray. I want you to pray. Going to get on this train that goes around the outside. Maybe it's sort of run by a computer deal that gets on and off and all that. When I tell you to stop, you get off. I said, yeah, I'll do that. He said, I'll pick you up later, but it's going to work. And I just knew. The Lord says, stop. So I stopped. And here was Kathy, Betty's sister, Esther, and their husband right there. And they says, boy, you're right here. But they couldn't believe it. I didn't even share with them. They said, how'd you make it? And I said, the Lord helped me. Well, how would he help you here? I just backed off. Sometimes you better say nothing, but believe. Because you got living, the Spirit lives within you. The anointing which you received in him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teaches you. But that same anointing teaches you is truth and is no lie, and as you abide in him as he abides in you. We need to abide in that truth. We need to abide. Say, yes, Lord, verse on, I just eat it. I used to just eat Bibles up. I mean, within 6 months' time, there was nothing. Pages fell out of them. And I just eat it. And even, I mean, I got life. The Lord told me, I'm putting you in school. It was a supernatural school. I was at, it wasn't like natural school, but didn't stop right there. Did you ever think about going to a wedding, a Sunday school class, and a church service all in one setting? Well, that's what it was. My father-in-law was going to marry a new lady, and my wife, she decided to be good if I tried to make it, and she couldn't. So I told her, well, I said, I'll try. I'm not very good at those kind of things, but I'll try. I just hit me there, it's going to be a problem. Well, the Lord was no problem. But you can talk to people. You know they're not very adept in things of the Lord. You know what I mean? They're very churchy. They're very churchy. I mean, oh, I'm going to go to church. But there's no move. There's no understanding of what God has. No understanding. You'd like to tell them, I got something to help you. But no, they don't know. They don't understand. And you can't say nothing because God has to intervene in these areas. They have to want to know from Him. He opens the table to feed on. No man. He opens to you a meal that may last 10 years. Mine lasts a long time. I couldn't imagine. My father-in-law was going to be married in between the Sunday school and church. In between the two. But that's the way they did it. So here they had the wedding service right after Sunday school. And they said, we're going to have a church service now, but we want everybody to stay for the fellowships. There are people from everywhere there. So, and Joe was my brother-in-law, and he says, I want you to stay, Brother Freedom. And I said, okay. He said, well, why don't you go with me? Because I'm going to have to go get some ice. I had a brown flowery shirt on my wife gave me. I probably would never have bought it. But she got me this brown flowery shirt. See, God had a purpose in it. And I, for some strange reason, I wore that shirt. Well, I'll tell you why. Because all my shirts were about all wrinkled. That's about the only thing I had. I was getting down on clothes. So I wore that. I think I even wore it on the plane. It was a nice shirt. So I had that shirt on. So Joe and I went down to get ice. We come back a little. I seen everybody sitting there just waiting. I said, bro, Joe, what's wrong? I don't know. As soon as I got out of the car, the voice comes and says, hey, we've been waiting on you. I said, what of me? The Lord doesn't want me to pray. He wants you to pray for some reason. They're in for a treat because I don't pray little short sermons. I mean, I pray. He said, you're just praying what you're supposed to pray. So I prayed, and it must have been 20, 25 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. And the Spirit of God just moved mightily. I don't really remember all of a sudden, but I know that it touched some lots of backsliders. And that pastor says, the Lord said he has to pray. No one else. See, God worked that out. I never talked to the pastor. I didn't know nothing. I didn't even know. I hadn't been there in years. God works all these little integral things out that we don't know. The Holy Spirit told the pastor, that man has to pray. Has to. So he yielded to the Lord. So when I prayed, the pastor said, I want you to come back post-revival lesson. I can't tell you that, but I said, we'll be back sometime. And I said, I appreciate it. He said, boy, you got my church already on fire. But the Holy Ghost can let you do things that nobody can do when they're cold. And I'll tell you, you start preaching out of yourself, it's cold. It's not hot. Come and see the glory is in you. The power of God is real to be revealed. That's how he moved in the old days. By the anointing breaks the chains. Isaiah, the anointing breaks the yoke. Bondages are broken through the anointing. That's how preaching service breaks the power of the dark. Because the anointing on the preaching is God in the preaching. It's God in the answer. And here today, you need the power of God in your life that you might be changed this night. I'm going to share it right now, but in the name of Jesus, God bless you all. I pray that this service will touch you. I've given some examples, and now I pray that God will meet your need this night in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen, 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 and God bless you all. God bless you. Love you. I love all of you. I love you. God bless you. In Jesus'
Amen. Thank you for joining us.